Now, I want to read Luke chapter 2, and we're going to try to figure out the who, what, when, where, why, and how. And it says in chapter 2, verse 1, and it came to pass. See, it didn't come to stay. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Everybody's happy now, aren't they? You know, taxed. You know, and you got to leave your home. Now, we get the privilege, you can drive in a vehicle, and you can at least, it might be the best thing that you want. But if you get some money back, you're at least a little bit happy. But if you got to pay on top of what you've already paid, those are the people you don't want to be around, right, at that tax season. Well, can you imagine having to come and leave your home and go stay someplace else just so you could get taxed? And this taxing was first made when Cyrene was the governor of Syria. He was the governor twice. He was there from 4 B.C. to 1 B.C. and then again from 6 A.D. Well, there was no taxing done in 6 A.D., so we now know it's got to be within that time frame. All went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, remember that place, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Now, Bethlehem means house of bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus is the one that created Bethlehem. He created this world. And so the bread of life creates the house of bread, and it's out of the house of bread that the bread of life would come. To be taxed with Mary's as a spouse wife being great with child. What a wonderful introduction into the world that you've created, Lord Jesus. That you're going to allow the most sadistic, most horriblest government system. They're crucifying people already before Jesus is even born. And they're taxing, and everybody is just so happy at this time. And it was. So that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. For she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. Now, why would they wrap him in swaddling clothes? Well, I'm going to just jump up to verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you that you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Why swaddling clothes? Because that's what the Jewish priests, the Levite priests, the shepherds, wrapped their lambs and their hooves in swaddling cloths, so that they would not be bruised or damaged, and that are marred, because they had to be without blemish. And it would be a sign unto these shepherds that here comes the Lamb of God that was coming into the world, and he'd be wrapped in swaddling clothes. It was a sign. Because there was no room for them in the inn. And then in that same country, shepherds, not just ordinary shepherds. These are the Levite shepherds that are taking care of the Passover lambs that were destined for Passover for the slaughter. And here comes the Lamb of God, the King of Kings, born into a world, and he's destined for the slaughter, like a sheep destined for the slaughter. And they were abiding in the field, keeping watch over their field over their flocks by night. It wasn't in the town of Bethlehem. According to Micah chapter 4, verse 8, it was in the tower of the flock, the Migdal Eder. And we know where the Migdal Eder is. It's just outside Bethlehem, even to this day. And we're hoping to be able to go there on our next tour. They're building a road into there. And so we can go see the Migdal Eder, the very place where Jesus was born. That's where they kept the lambs, not in the town, at the Tower of the Flock. And it's not in the December season. They even to this day, those that take care of sheep, they don't keep them out in the December season. They're put away. They're taken care of. It's in the September-October season that they're still out there keeping their flocks. And that's when Jesus was born. But why do we celebrate December 25th? Because if, according to the scriptures, the shepherds found Jesus in the manger. They should have been there because there was no room in the inn. But the wise men, which come 2 years later, according to the scriptures, in Matthew chapter 2, in verse 16, it says that Herod diligently inquired of the wise men, and it was 2 years. And they found a young child in a house. That's from Matthew chapter 2. And so two different scenes, two different time frames, but it's when the wise men came. And in around 300 AD, they started keeping this tradition of when the wise men came to see Jesus. And we've celebrated it, and we've kind of mixed it together, you know, but that's not what Scripture teaches. See, there's lots of confusion about who he is and when it happens. But I love what it comes up in verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came around about them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were so afraid. And here, you know they're afraid because the angels even have to tell them, fear not. And the angel said, fear not. That means that they were afraid. I don't know if you've ever really been afraid. Afraid of dying? Afraid of losing something? Afraid of what's going to happen? Will it work out? I don't know. You know, we're afraid. We're a people that it doesn't take much to scare us. I mean, I do not like going to cemeteries, you know, especially at night. I've had a couple incidents in my life where when I was a young kid, mom and dad left me at these people's place, and these people love skeletons. And they had a skeleton that would be hanging on a cord, and what they would do, hey, John! And this skeleton would come down, and it would stop right in front of me, right where I was sleeping. And, wah! You know, I'd be just scared out of my mind. I was scared. So now, when you go to the cemetery at night, we've heard too many stories. I watched too many movies as a kid. So even as an adult, like, I know there's nothing there, but you hear things, something moved, okay, I'm out of here. We're scared. We're a scared group of people. In fact, remember what happens when the angels show up, that people are on the ground. They're afraid. You know, Manoah and his wife, when they saw the angel go up, they were afraid because it was a man who said, I am. It was the Lord Jesus, and they were afraid. Moses was afraid. People have been afraid of God. He says, but here's the good news. I bring you good tidings. The Greek word here is evangelios. It's the same word as gospel. If I take the word gospel, look at it in the Greek, evangelios. It's the gospel. I bring you the gospel of great joy. So in the midst of being afraid, here's this good news that's of great joy. And it shall be to all people, not just to here in Canada, not just to Israel, the whole world. And that's what missions is all about. That's what evangelism is all about. And that was on the heart of God, is that everyone would have an opportunity to hear the good news. Well, what is the good news? The good news began in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and it's the gospel sentence. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is the gospel. How do we know it's the gospel? Because the word in the beginning has the Hebrew word barashit. Barashit is three words, one word made up of three. Bar is sun, ish is man, and the ta is the mark. It's a cross. It's about a sun, a man, a cross. And the next Hebrew word is Elohim. The sun, man, cross, God. And then it adds the little phrase, et, the first and the last. The Son, man, cross, God, the first and last, created the heavens and the earth. It's always been about a son and a man and a cross. And as you go through the scriptures, God lays out this gospel message. He gives it to Abraham in Genesis 12:3, this wonderful gospel. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He says, I will curse those who curse you, I'll bless those who bless you, but in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He says that three times to Abraham, once to Isaac, and once to Jacob. How do we know it's the gospel? Because God even tells us, because sometimes we just don't pay attention, because we're like sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray, turned everyone to his own way. But here God lays it out. Here's the gospel message. In Galatians 3 verse 8, and the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, the Gentiles, through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. What makes up nations? People. Families. That all families, all people. I mean, you go to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13, and you see this wonderful gospel message being played out. Is that an everlasting dominion, a kingdom is given to the ancient, from the Ancient of Days unto the Son of Man. and every tribe, nation, tongue, and people. You go to Revelation chapter 14, Revelation chapter 5, Revelation chapter 6, every nation. Revelation 7, there is a number incountable from every group of people, not even countable in the tribulation that are going to come. This is the good news. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It's Jesus Christ. Now, he's not given his name until the eighth day. But see, on the Jewish festival, Feast of Booths, which happens in the September-October season, that's when Jesus is born. We know that because we just go back 6 months. John's born at Passover. How do we know that? Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Zechariah from the tribe of Abijah, the division of Abijah. And he's worshiping God on as the eighth division, but in the 10th week, because there's Passover and Pentecost. So you count 39 weeks, back at Passover, September, October. I mean, March, April. 6 months later, you're at the Feast of Booth. On the eighth day, he is circumcised. On the eighth day of the Feast of Booth is known as the Great Day of God. So Jesus Christ receives his name, Jesus, on the Great Day of God. That's what the Bible's telling us. It's good news that God has come into this world, though he had appeared many times in the Old Testament as a man, as he walked with Adam and Eve, as he got on the boat with the ark with Noah, as he talks to Abraham, he shows up many times as a man. But here he comes, just like you and me, into this world, into a world that was filled with violence, with a governmental system that was taking over the world. And that's the kind of system you live in with the United Nations. That's what the Roman revived Roman Empire is going to be about. It's about what Rome. And here he's come to give good news in a little city. The chances that one man could fit the requirements of even eight prophecies. First, you had to be born in Bethlehem. According to the scriptures, Micah 5:2, he was coming from everlasting, from of old, to Bethlehem. That meant that eliminated all the other 11 tribes. But then it says of David, that eliminates all the other families outside of David, though they might be from Judah. And pretty soon it had to be that God was going to reveal himself through this one individual. And they say that the chances of one person fulfilling it would be like taking coins over the state of Texas and piling them up about 3 to 4 feet high and throwing out one coin out of an airplane where you're blindfolded and the aircraft traveling at 576 miles an hour and you heaved it out. And now you drop the guy off in Florida and tell him you got 6 days to go find that coin. That would be the chances that it would be fulfilled. It's impossible. But see, that's where God works, in the impossible, because it's not impossible for God. Is that the good news is for you and for me. He says now in verse 13, and suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. This is on the heart of God. That is, God is going to do the most greatest evangelistic service and meetings as he reaches out to tell people about Jesus Christ. This is, we had the privilege of going to Guatemala. There's no message like it. You might like a certain message. You might like a certain people. You might like a certain toy. You might like a certain vehicle. I want to have this. But there's no message like this one. And it was on the heart of God that there would be peace in your life. I always think of Mr. Stafford when some of his children were on the Titanic and it went down. And he wrote these words, it is well with my soul. He just lost some of his family. I had the privilege of staying in the American Colony Association. That was developed by Mr. and Mrs. Stafford. It was after they had lost their children that they went to Israel. And that if anyone was coming, they offered a free place because if you needed help, there was going to be someone there to help them. It is well with my soul. Is it well with your soul? Do you have peace within your life? Maybe your business is not going well. Maybe your marriage is not going well. But do you have peace with Jesus Christ? Because there's no other peace like it. People are looking for peace in all the wrong places. They're looking for it in things and events and situations, but not in God and God alone, as he sent the Lord Jesus. Goodwill towards men. Do good to men while you have opportunity, because it's going to get dark and the opportunities are going to get less and less. If you don't believe me, just go on to Google. Type in tsunamis, earthquakes, water floods, mudslides, you name it, wars, famines. Those are the conditions that Jesus laid out in Matthew 24. The time is now. It's going to get dark. It's not about me and what I get out of it. It's what, Lord, what would you have me do? Well, there's still time. And it says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They couldn't keep the gospel message to themselves. They had to go and tell other people about what Jesus was. He was here. They had met him. I think of Simeon as he takes him up in his arms and he's holding the baby Jesus and he says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Let thy servant now depart in peace. You can't do what Simeon did. But God has given you an opportunity to do something greater, is to hold him within the frame of your body and to allow him to work in our hearts and our soul and our mind. Now, the question is, who is all here in the story? We've talked about a number of things. Who is here? Because if you don't know the who, we can't get to the how. So anybody know who's in the story here? Okay, we got shepherds, priestly shepherds. What? Mary's there. And if Mary's there, that means Joseph's there too. And if Joseph and Mary are there, that means? Jesus is not there. Well, he's there, but he's not given his name yet. That's 8 days later. But the baby's there. The angels were there. Who else is part of this story? You got to talk up louder. I'm going deaf. The Holy Spirit. Actually, very good. Holy Spirit. God was there. This is his beloved son. As he was being baptized, this is my beloved son. You know, hear him. And when he transfigured himself and showed the glory of the Lord, he said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. God was there. How do we know God was there? Well, verse 9, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about. God was there, watching this whole thing. Because who's going to come and try to get rid of him? In 2 years' time, Herod is going to try to kill the Lord Jesus. That's Revelation 12, verse 5. Satan was there. He was coming to kill the Lord Jesus because he hates him. See, he knew him from eternity. Is that when God created the heavens and the earth, here was Satan in the garden. Satan was there. We know that the tax collectors are there. They're in Bethlehem. They're a happy group of people. They're looking for all kinds of what this world can offer. Okay, so we know who now. Where is this? Where does this start? Where does this message start? Anybody? What's this? With God, and God is? He's in heaven. There we go. Yes, he's everywhere. But he's in heaven. Okay? So the scene starts in heaven. It transfers down to Nazareth. That's where he's conceived. The conception. And then it begins and it comes to a climax in Bethlehem where he's now born. All right? So now we know the where. Okay, now we got to know what. What was the purpose of this happening?
Well, it tells us right in verse 9. Somebody tell me what it says in verse 9.
It was for the glory of God. Do you know that the reason that you are here on this planet is not to prosper, not to get a home, not to get a wife or a husband, not to... Your main reason for living and that you were brought into this world was first to glorify God and secondly to worship Him. You can ask, and if it be His will, and if He gives, then give thanks. But if it goes easy, if it goes bad, if it's rich, if it's poor, that's not the purpose. It's to glorify Him. The heavens declare the handiwork, the glory of the Lord. The angel of the Lord is there. The glory from the angel of the Lord, He's there. And it's glory. Jesus said, glorify thou me, Father, with the glory that I had before the foundation of the world. And the Father said, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. It's about glory. It's about His purpose, His plan. This is His world. It's not ours. But as we live within it, we have a loving God, a caring God, a helping God, and that He promises never to leave you, never to forsake you, that if you ask Him to come and be part of your life as Lord and Savior, He'll never, never, never leave you. He has promised you a heaven, an eternity, and a mansion. You're going to be kings and priests. He's given, it says in 1 Corinthians, that He's given you all things. It doesn't mean that you'll have all things here. But because of what kind of a God we have, in the next world, He's promised all things. And he gave His own Son. He gave the very best. See, God doesn't owe you or me anything. But we owe Him everything. And if you don't believe that, just try breathing without God. Because it's the breath of God that makes you go from one step to the next. I love when you see the hoar frost. The hoar frost on the trees and the ground is that I never used to pay attention to it until one day I'm reading in Job, and it says the hoar frost is the breath of God. And I was in a hurry one morning, and I come running out and I saw the hoar frost, and I jumped into the vehicle, and as I looked around, I don't ever remember seeing it so white. I got to get a picture of this. So I ran into the house to get the camera. No, I didn't have a cell phone. Went in to get a camera. I came out. I went to click. Nothing. Oh, opened up. Ah, no battery. Oh, I got to go find a battery. So I'm in the house. Irene's already had left. And I'm heading for a conference. And I can't find a battery. I went through the whole house. I finally found a battery. Put the battery in there. Click. Nothing. Open up. There's no film. Oh, so now I got to go find the film. That's the way my life is. Like, there's no film up here sometimes. And I'm running short on the battery. I find the battery. I came out, and just as I was about to take the picture, the sun came out. And it hit the hoar frost. And I've never seen anything so more beautiful in my life than as I clicked it, and I clicked it, and I clicked it, and I clicked it. I took picture after picture after picture of the beauty of what God was doing. Well, then I went to get back in the vehicle, and as I pulled out now to go to the conference, all of a sudden, it caught my attention. And I had just finished reading about the hoar frost, about being the breath of God. And it right away kind of registered. So I opened up the door. The neighbors were wondering what I was doing. But I went onto the tree, and I'm holding the hoar frost. I'm holding the breath of God in my hand. And then all of a sudden, I thought, I popped into my mouth. The breath of God. It made me think about God breathed into me the breath of life. I'd never thought that way before. Is that it's all about Him. And if you try to live your life without God, you're going to come up short. The breath of God. Are you praising Him for every single breath? What are you going to do with it? Okay, so now we know the what. Why is this so important? Well, verse 10. And the angel of the Lord said unto them, fear not, for I bring you the good tidings. I bring you the gospel. This is the why. It is the gospel to every single individual, every single person. No exceptions, no exclusions. And it's to be great joy to know that God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that he loves you. I mean, people are looking for love. People are looking for affection. People just to have someone say hi to them. And here's God saying, you know, I love you. And I'm sending you my son. I'm sending you my best because I love you. This is the gospel. It's a great joy that I remember when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It was December 14th, 1976 at 9:30 at the Mountain Baptist Church on Mountain Avenue. And I was so excited. And I remember when I was on my way home and I remembered, hey, my mom and dad don't know this. Nobody ever told me that. They're going to hell. You know, I got to tell them. And I phoned them up at 11:30 at night, and my mom was already asleep. And I said, Mom, I got some good news. I just accepted Jesus, and I just want to tell you about what Jesus has done. And these are the words out of my mother's mouth. Oh, John, you got yourself into a cult. My mom wouldn't have known what a cult was, you know, but she thought I was in a cult. Now, how is this all going to happen? Well, I think it's verse 14, is that it's, again, it goes right back to God. Glory to God. See, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. God was going to send his peace. And you know, when the Lord Jesus would come and he would meet with the people, he would say, Shalom Aleichem, or in English, peace, peace be with you. And you find it in the scriptures. Those are his words. Peace be with you. Do you know that peace? That when Jesus Christ came into your life, are you as excited the day that you received him as your Lord and Savior? If you are today, there should be no change. It's not a one-day job being a Christian. You know, we show up on Sunday. It's 7 days. Because when you ask Jesus Christ, he was the Lord of the Sabbath, the Shabbat. But when he became Lord and Savior, that's 7 days. 6 days of living the same way as on the seventh day. Only I'm just together with a group of people. Is that it was for good will to all men. This is what God was going to do it. See, it's not me working for God or you working for God. It was God where we allowed him to work in us. I mean, that's Hebrews 13, 21 and 22. You know, working in you, making you perfect, doing his will, that which is perfect and pleasing and acceptable in Christ Jesus forever and ever. If it isn't Jesus working in you, and you're doing it for Jesus, it's not going to be recorded in heaven. Because usually what happens, see what I did? I was doing this. Did you see what I did? See, it's all about I. I is the problem. It's got to be about Jesus. It's going to be about the glory. It's about worshiping him and giving him thanks. And he is going to do it. That's the how. That I step aside and say, Lord, you know, replace the love that I have. Because it's coming up pretty short. Lord, the Bible says all my righteousness are as filthy rags. I need his righteousness. He's the king of righteousness. And when I step aside and allow Jesus to work, that doesn't mean that I quit doing things. I allow him to work in me. To tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. What about us? Are we excited to be here this morning? Or is it just something that we've done for years and it's kind of a family thing and maybe it's a denominational thing and we just show up? Or are we excited about what God is doing in this world, in this country, in this province, in this community, but most importantly, in your life? Because it's supposed to be joy. Not, oh, here we go again. You know, another Sunday. And there's a football game. There we go. We'll have a good time. Got to make sure the service is closed early because, hey, the Packers are playing today. Well, Packers I don't think are even going to make the playoffs. So, but that's the way we think. I got to go home because I got a turkey in the oven. You know, we got this big family gathering. But what about Jesus?
And I'm coming up short. I'm not just saying this to you. I'm talking about me too. Is it about Jesus that I've come to glorify him and him alone? Because when you come into this world knowing that I'm here to worship and give him the glory, this world makes a whole lot more sense. And that you see people as for who they are, souls that are going somewhere. Some may be going to heaven because of what they've received Jesus. Most of the world is going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. But God's plan was the mission to bring peace on earth, to send his son Jesus Christ, as it says in the book of Luke and also in Luke chapter 5, but also in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a trustworthy saying. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And Paul added the little hashtag, such as I. I'm the chief sinner. If the apostle Paul was the chief sinner, I think he's boasting, because I think I'm the chief sinner. If Paul's the chief sinner, where does that put you and me? Christ came into this world to save people. What will we do with Jesus? The one who is given his name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and in earth and under the earth. Just want to close with these letters or these words here. As Simeon said, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. Have you seen it? Are you born again? Jesus said in John 3:3, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And he goes on, verse John 3:6, you can't enter the kingdom of God, which has been prepared before the face of all people. God had a plan for you and me, a plan for each nation. Now, we can't help everybody, but guess what? God can. What will we allow God to do in our lives? A light to lighten the Gentiles, that their eyes would be open, or spend eternity in the lake of fire. And the glory of thy people Israel, that if Israel does not receive the glory of God through Jesus Christ, they're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. I mean, this is why we do the prophecy conferences. This is why we did the Honor Israel night. This is the reason that you came to church this morning. Is so that, Lord, where would you have me go? What would you have me do? That someone might hear the name of Jesus. I mean, as we take blankets to Israel, as we take food, as we take gifts, as we take Bibles, is that someone, by the grace of God, will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, I have to make one exception. Because my brother read this scripture this morning in Psalms 96. He says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his Jesus. Did you get that? That word salvation in Hebrew is Yeshua. Sing forth and show forth his name, Jesus, salvation from day to day. Declare his glory. It's all about the glory. Among the heathen, his wonders among all people. The good news that God sent his son into this world. Jesus Christ. 63 times the Hebrew Bible uses this word salvation. If you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, you'll find it's the Hebrew word Yeshua. He's been speaking all along. He's been speaking from eternity past. He's speaking to eternity future. And we have the Word of God that talks about the glory of God. Show forth Jesus. What has Jesus done in your life? Tell them what good things he's done for you, for your family, for your neighborhood, for your community. And don't be ashamed. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Go tell them about Jesus. Let Jesus shine through you in this season where most people have no hope. Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me say? Where would you have me be part of? That the glory of God would shine abroad and that people would see the salvation that we sing about, the Lord Jesus.
Let's give thanks. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come and to talk about the glory of God. And that as we sing these songs about the glory of God, that our hearts would be filled with joy, with praise, as we worship you, knowing that we're here because of the glory of God. And that, Lord, that you will take the things that we do and say, the things that you allow us to be part of, that you'd receive the glory. But we do ask for blessings, Lord. And that, Lord, that when we receive them, help us not to be selfish, but that we give as you've given, and that we would show forth the things of our Lord and Savior. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for helping us. And that, Lord, though you don't need to do anything because you've done all things well, Lord, there are still things in our lives that we struggle with, whether it be with our children or our jobs or maybe our marriage, maybe it's the businesses, maybe things that, Lord, and that we can come and ask a God who cares and loves and is willing to help in spite of who we are, because you're such a great God. And so, Lord, may the name of Jesus shine forth. May it be on our lips to tell other people. May we sing that in our hearts, and that we'd be making melody as we go through this next coming year. And so, Lord, I just ask that you'd have your hand upon each one. Lord, that you would remind them, encourage them, help them, guide them, use them for your honor, for your glory. For we look around our world and we see that it is very close, that the Lord Jesus is going to come. And we don't know the day nor the hour, but Lord, the signs are there. And so help us to declare Jesus in everything that we do. And with that, we give you thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen.